This morning, our devotional comes from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into the bosom again, and plucked it out of the bosom, and said, Behold, it was turned again as other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
Continuing with part two today of Moses' return to Egypt, our lesson text will come from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, which picks up right where Brother Jimmy left off with the devotional background study. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron a Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall say. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now, y'all noticed as I started reading there, I paused. I had to look and make sure I was in the right part here. This is kind of getting a little bit... I have trouble sometimes keeping up with which day and which month we're on, because we've been on Moses for so long. And I don't know. I had a moment of doubt there as I started reading. This is not the time to have that. But anyway, carrying on, I was in the right section, I believe. And We had Moses, this in the devotional background study, Moses had his objection that, no, Lord, they won't believe, and they're going to say the Lord didn't send thee. And when I read that, you know, I thought, well, that's what I say when I see somebody that I don't know, or that's just, or somebody that I do know that I work with, whatever, and I think I should go talk to them, and I should tell them what the Lord did for me, and I should tell them what the Bible says, and try to explain what that means. And I thought, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe the Lord saved my soul. And I thought, that's what Moses, that was the same thing that Moses was saying. He said, no, they're not going to believe me. Why do you want me to do that? And well, God had an answer for him there. He said, he went through the thing about the rod and throwing it on the ground. Jimmy read that to you, how it became a serpent. And the thing is, God didn't have to do that. God just needed Moses to do what God told him to do, just like God needs me to do what he tells me to do when he instructs me. Now, I have this tendency to think like Moses, that they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe anything that I have to say. But God knows what they'll believe. God knows he's already working on the other end, and I know that. But that gets into that the spiritual versus the carnal or natural man, and I'll get to that later on. But God knew that the children of Israel were at a point to believe. He knew their hearts. He knew that they were under that bondage, and that they had become a broken and contrite people. They had a broken and contrite spirit. So now Moses didn't know that. I mean, he had been away for a long time. And we'll get down here in just a little bit to where Aaron comes in, and I'm not exactly sure how that came to be, because I'm assuming that Aaron grew up in Egypt, but he may not have. But somehow or another, he's come to the land of Midian. But the point here that I'm trying to make here is that I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what God's plan is. And I mean, I know what his plan is, but I don't know what his plan is specifically for the people that are around me, the people that I deal with. And I need to be trusting in him, which is what Moses needed to do, rather than questioning God. But that was, from my perspective, an understandable statement, because, and the reason I say that is because he's doing what I would do and what I do today when the Lord puts something upon me. And I have to think that that's pretty common for God's people, because of the things that I've heard other people say, and the testimonies that I've heard some of y'all make. You know, the first thing is, Bert, I think, said last Sunday about he didn't want to go talk to his daughter. He didn't have anything to say, is what he said. And I don't want to speak for him too much, but that's what I understood him to say. And that's kind of the same thing I think that I do, and the same thing that Moses did there, is to say, to disagree with God, to tell God, you don't know, you don't know me, what I can say, and you don't know what they're going to say, and you just don't know what. That's not the way it is. We know that in our spiritual heart. We know that God knows everything. We know we need to trust him. We know he's working on the other end, and he knows those other people. He knows the outcome. But it's hard for us to bring our carnal mind into subjection to our spiritual heart sometimes. And I think that's what Moses was wrestling with. But God was there for him. God told him there. He went through the thing with the rod, cast the rod upon the ground, and God turned it into a serpent. Now, that was evidence for Moses that he could see, that he could kind of back up and calm down a little bit and say, all right, this is God. God is in control. God is in charge. He can do these things. And kind of gave Moses some confidence. Now, I'm going to try to talk a little bit about the symbolism of this rod. And I got a lot of my thoughts here from the lesson text from the writer of our Sunday school book. And I'm going to try to take what he has to say and put some of my own thoughts with it there. Now, he says here in and I'm in the Sunday school book now, down in the third paragraph, he says, "The rod is a fitting emblem of the word of the truth of the gospel. The rod is something definite that Moses was to take with him. Not just any rod would do." That is, God looked at the rod, and I think probably this was a shepherd's a crook. I don't know that for a fact. It may have just been a stick that Moses picked up as he was walking around, but I believe it would have probably been, since Moses was a shepherd and he was out taking care of these sheep when all this happened, that he probably had a shepherd's hoof, which from what I can gather would have been crooked on one end so they could reach out and grab a sheep and pull it to them. I don't know. I've never tended sheep, never had anything to do with them, but just from the things that I've read, that's probably what he had. It doesn't really matter, other than that God told him to take that rod. It was that specific. It wasn't just pick up any stick as you're walking around and use that, but take that rod with you. The reason I'm pointing that out is because today our rod is the Bible. That's what we have to use. That's what we have to read and learn from. And not just any book will do. We can't just go out and... Now there are some good commentaries on the Bible, and there's some other good books that we can read, history books and different things, and I don't have any problem with those, but those aren't the tool that we were given to study and to learn from and to meditate upon. It's the Bible, and there is no substitute for the Bible for us as God's children. And Moses could have done a lot of different things. He could have picked up other tools to serve him and to use in his journey. But there was only one rod that was appointed to him by God with that power that he was to take to those people. And that rod in and of itself was just a piece of wood. It didn't have any particular powers. God didn't turn that into a magic stick that was going to be able to do just whatever Moses wanted to have it do at any time. It was the Spirit of God that caused those things to happen. And the rod was just something that Moses could physically hold in his hand and use as he needed to use it throughout the times that he was getting ready to face. But really, the power was the Spirit of God. And that's the same thing that we have today. This Bible, the old preachers used to talk about it, or not old preachers, but preachers in times past, heard them refer to the Bible as a dead letter. And what they meant was that if somebody has the Bible and they're reading through it and they don't have the Spirit of God about them, it's not going to do them any good. They're not going to be able to understand it. They may understand the words with their carnal mind, but they're not going to get the spiritual meaning behind the words in the Bible. And so it becomes just another stick laying on the ground and to stick with the rod that Moses had here. But when somebody has the Bible and they're reading and they're studying it, or they're preaching out of it, or whatever, a child of God has that Bible and they're serving God and they're near God where they ought to be, then this becomes a sword. It becomes something that can cut into the heart of the lost. It becomes something that can bring conviction upon them. Not because the Bible is anything more than paper and ink, but because the Spirit of the Lord is there. And the saved individual has this Bible as a tool that they can use to deliver the gospel, to bring out to bring forth that Spirit of God to accomplish His will, whatever that will may be. Now, I said a little bit ago that God knows the hearts of those people that's around us. He knows our hearts, and hopefully where our hearts are where they need to be. Now, sometimes they're not, but when they are, then we know that He knows what's going on and is capable and able to direct us to accomplish what it is He would have us to do. And we can read it about Moses, what happened with him, how that he went and led the children of Israel out of bondage. And when you first read about it and you think, and you God told him to go do that, and you kind of tend to think, well, God's with you, God's going to guide you. It's nothing to it. Just listen to him and go on, and it's going to turn out. And I don't want to go into our, we've got a lot more studying to do, but it's not really that easy. God didn't say to Moses, he told him to go and that he was going to be with him, but he didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say there wasn't going to be some problems along the way. And that, well, in fact, I guess he did say that, because he told them that Pharaoh was going to harden his, that God was going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he wasn't going to listen to him. So Moses knew that he was up against something there. And I'm going to try not to talk too much more about that, because it is future lessons. But another thing is, we study about this, you know, Moses didn't have the Bible to turn to. He didn't have even the Jewish Torah, the scriptures that were going to be written. In fact, Moses is the one that wrote, I think it was the first five books of the Bible. And so, and that hadn't happened at this point. The way that they had their understanding of God in their worship service was passed on by word of mouth from generation to generation. Now, I don't know that they didn't have some kind of writing. I just don't know if they did or not. It's possible they did. But they didn't have the things that we have today, the history laid out in the form that we had it today. Now, the time had come that this people needed to be brought out of Egypt. They were in bondage, in physical bondage. They were slaves, and they were being oppressed. And the time, in God's eyes, was right for them to be rescued. Well, they were also they were in physical bondage. They were slaves, but they also needed to be saved from sin the same way that people today have to be saved. They weren't just, Brother Nathan Drake kind of pointed this out last week, just being a Israelite wasn't something that saved them. That was no saving grace there. There was no unmerited favor in being an Israelite, but rather they needed to turn to God with a humble heart and contrite spirit and ask to be saved, to repent of their sins. And to repent of their sins, looking forward to a coming Savior. We look back upon a Savior who has already come, and we believe and we trust in that Savior. They looked forward to a Savior that was to come, and they trusted in Him. So there was no difference there, other than looking forward versus looking back. That need for salvation was the greatest need that they had. Yeah, they needed to be rescued from bondage, but more importantly than that is the condition of a person's soul. And today, I don't know of anybody today that's in bondage as far as being a slave. I don't know anyone that's being held against their will and forced into a life of servitude. But I know a lot of people that I believe are probably under the bondage of sin, and they need to be rescued from that much more so than anyone has ever needed to be rescued as a slave. That is our that is where we come in. That is where we do the job that Moses had to do. We take forth the message, and we live our lives. We should live our lives in a manner that's pleasing to God. We should strive to serve God, to study His Word, to keep in prayer, keep in touch with Him. That when He looks upon the heart of a lost person somewhere, and He knows that that person's in a condition and in a shape that they can be reached, He can turn to one of His children and say, go. Go talk to that person. Go tell them what needs to be done. And then we take our rod, and I don't think that we have to physically pick up a Bible and take it with us, but we need to know what the Bible says. We need to be able to tell people where the Bible says to repent. But we need to go with the Spirit of the Lord about us, and that's the key. That's the most important thing. Moses wasn't going to do anything when he went to this people without the Spirit of the Lord. And I have to think that probably that was part of the his question in here, Lord, they're not going to believe me. And he was right there. They weren't going to believe him, but they believed the Spirit of the Lord. And God had to show him that God was with Moses, and that's what they were going to believe in. But today, you know, I said people need to be rescued from this bondage of sin that they're under. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We that have been saved know that. We have a spiritual knowledge of that. And we have the ability to tell people about that. I mean, you can take that scripture right there, and if someone's heart is right, if they're out there seeking, if they want to know what the truth is, and you can explain to them, well, if you're not saved, this is where you are. The wages of sin is death. But we have to be in a place in our lives spiritually where God can use us, where He can take us. And we've studied a lot about Moses, how it took 40 years for Moses to get into a condition where God could use him. Well, we're no different in that aspect either. Sometimes it takes a little time. God has to kind of mold us and season us and bring us around to where He can use us. Some of us, it takes a little bit more time, I guess, than others. But that's what we need to be thinking about. That's where we need to be setting our sights, aiming and planning, to be in a condition where we can be used. Now, that condition where we can be used is a spiritual condition. It's we need to be a spiritual people close to God. And I'm repeating myself a lot here, but it's something that we ought to be thinking about. Carrying on in Romans, in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So we've been saved. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have our regenerated heart within us. But we also still have the option of whether to allow that Spirit to blossom and to grow and to become stronger, or whether we want to go after the things of the world and be pleased with those things. And, you know, I mean, we can look around and see people that they don't come to church anymore. They don't seem to be interested in the things of God. And I'm not here to talk about other people. I don't want to do that. But just to use a general thought there of people that don't serve God after they're saved. What's going on there? What happened? The Bible here said that if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So we that have the Spirit of God upon us and in us need to be careful to allow that to shine, to not put our light under a bushel, as the Bible speaks about. Because we do have a constant warfare going on. Paul talked about that, what he wanted to do, he wouldn't do. And I didn't look this up, so I'm not even going to try to go any further than that. I know that y'all know of it, where he spoke about the inward struggle that he had of his carnal man versus the spiritual man. We're faced with that same thing today. And I think Moses was faced with it in his time. I think it's just a common thing for children of God to be faced with, is that inward war going on, from what we want to do and what our minds want to go after and what the Spirit of the Lord is leading us to do. And we can allow that carnal, natural man to direct our paths. But when we do that, we're of no use to God, and we're of no use to the lost people that's about us if we don't strive to serve God and to have His Spirit about us. Because just as Moses was... the rod that Moses had was just a symbol. It was the Spirit of the Lord that needed to be about him to make that rod useful, then without the Spirit of the Lord about us, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything good either. But God supplied Moses with what Moses needed, and he'll supply us as well if we'll do what we can, and we'll try to ask him to be with us and to guide us and direct us, and be willing to follow when he does guide us and direct us. He'll supply our needs. That's all that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? Appreciate y'all being here today. If there's nothing else, we can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Maggart in our prayers also, that the Lord might be with him and give him guidance. I'll ask Don if he would to dismiss us.
Thank you, Lord, for this another privilege to come back to the church. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do bless. Thank you for the teacher. Thank you, Lord, for our prayer pastor. Ask Lord to not bless him. Be with him today as he speaks. Ask Lord to not be with us. Bless us, lead us, and guide us to the Holy Spirit. Bless us and bless us, Jesus. For his name, we pray. Amen.